Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
All right, here we go. Welcome in. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name's Matt Pauly. Have you for the next 2 hours this evening until 8 o'clock. We got a lot to get to. We got a whole bunch to get to here on the show tonight. We are going to have Bernie Miklas joining us in about 10 minutes or so. And then much of next hour is going to be an interview that I did earlier today with the Cardinals president of business operations. I think he's a really, really interesting guy, and I appreciate some of the things he's done with the Cardinals. That's Anuk Karunaratne. He is going to join us in the about 7:20 or so, and we'll have him on for about a half hour. Again, I recorded it over at the ballpark earlier today, just so we could get in the studio together and talk through a bunch of things. But the business side of sports, I don't think, has ever impacted fans more than right now. And we saw that earlier this year with the TV situation, because that was a business thing that was happening. That was a television network going through bankruptcy. That was a major corporation worth over $1 billion in the St. Louis Cardinals trying to figure out how they are going to become a TV production arm as well. Like all those things. Those are business things that are happening that's impacting fans. The experience, the world we're living in right now when it comes to experiential type things, whether it's ball games, whether it's concerts, whatever it might, whether it's going to an escape room, like whatever it might be, we're in a boom right now of people being willing to spend their discretionary dollars on experiences, as long as the experience is good enough for it to be worth their dollar. And for some people out there, going to Busch Stadium and watching the St. Louis Cardinals play a baseball game, and that's good enough. They love the game of baseball, and that's enough. But for a lot of people out there, you got to say why going to the ballpark is better than watching it on TV. What's going on that's going to draw you in? And I actually mentioned this with Anuk. I'll say it now, though. This past Sunday, I took my family to the game. I wasn't working. It was one of the rare opportunities for me to just be a fan at a baseball game. And the game that I always get to, no matter what, for my family, is Build-A-Bear Day. This year, they did Build-A-Bear Fredbirds. They're pretty cool. And I've got two young daughters, and they love the Build-A-Bear Day, and we go every year. And it's just a really good reminder for me, someone who, you know, 90%, 95%, 99% of my Cardinal experiences is sitting in a room where you got to be kind of quiet and you're just watching the game from kind of a scientific standpoint. It's good to go out and experience things. And you know what? Cardinals do a great job on the experience. They do a really good job. We've kind of gotten stuck in the whatever's happened over the last few years on the field, where it became the cool thing not to show up to games, which I still think is odd, because Cardinal fans were trying to send a message, and that's fine. The message can be sent. That's not the odd part. It's just the continuation of that. And it's a good reminder for me that, man, the Cardinals do a really, really good job of putting on a show. And I think it's better. And the fact that the team's playing some good baseball is good as well. So Anuk is going to be with us coming up next hour, and we're going to talk through a lot of things from a business standpoint. Navy blue caps are back. We'll start the conversation with that. And Anuk met with the media yesterday. I really appreciate this about him and about the way the Cardinals are doing their business right now. He had heard through the grapevine that there was a vocal part of the fan base that wanted the navy blue caps on the road. I was up in the booth one day, he was up in the booth, and he asked a ton of people. I'm not trying to claim any credit for the change, but he said, Matt, are you hearing this? And I told him, and a couple days later, there's a survey that's being pushed out on social media, a uniform survey. It was like 3 weeks ago, maybe a month ago. It wasn't that long ago. And then 2 days ago, they announce that the primary cap when the team is wearing road grays is going to be the navy blue cap. That's swift in their movement. That is hearing from fans, reacting to fans' opinions, and doing something about it. So I appreciate that about them, and we'll talk more about that with Anouk coming up when he joins us in the 7 o'clock hour. Again, we've got a lot to get to today. Cardinals win today. Fantastic win for a lot of reasons. Another really good pitching performance from Kyle Leahy. The offense, the able to put together that four-run fifth inning, pretty much everything happening with two outs except for a Cesar Prieto leadoff single. How about that? Prieto finally gets that hit, and it's the hit that starts a four-run fifth inning. That's the difference in a 7-1 ball game. You continue to see Alec Burleson do some really, really cool things with the three RBIs today. He's now up to 84 RBIs this year. He's tied Jordan Walker for the team lead, fourth in Major League Baseball. Just a lot of really good things to get to with the Cardinals. In fact, we're going to talk about that with Bernie Miklas. He's going to join us in just a moment as we will roll on. Back at it. It's a Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Great to have you with us. It's also great to talk with my good friend Bernie Miklas, KMOX sports contributor. He is all over the place here. Sports Open Line, Sports on a Sunday Morning, Redbird Rush Hour, Gas House Gang, Dave Glover Show. If you love Bernie, listen to KMOX. And if you love Bernie, you got to be following him on social media. He does his videos. He also has been doing columns that he's posting for now on Twitter, X, and he'll be doing a little bit more with that coming up in the very near future. Bernie, always great to talk with you. How are you?
Yeah, good to talk to you. I was asking Matt Rocchio, if you know, how are Cardinals fans? Is there anything to squawk about at this particular moment? And I'm not giving them a hard time, but I'm just saying that was a heck of a series win. So I doubt that anybody would have too much to fuss about.
Who would have ever thought that they would have lost the first game of that series and come back and won the last two? We should think that, because that's who this year's Cardinals are. They beat good teams. They lose to bad teams. They beat good pitchers. They get almost no hit by guys with a 6 ERA. Like, up is down, down is up. Whatever. I don't know, but that's who the Cardinals are.
Yeah, I've said on X, and I think I'm echoing with probably 90% of people thought, which is, after they blew a game in the series opener, you know, they were facing Andrew Painter, and he pitched very, very well, but still, that was our best shot to, you know, get a win right away, and they just couldn't come through when they had to win the game. So then you're looking at Christopher Sanchez, game two, Zach Wheeler, game three. These are not just the Phillies' two best pitchers, but these are among the best starters in Major League Baseball. And you look at it, and with all due respect, you just don't like their chances of getting back-to-back wins in those games against those starting pitchers. But they did. And it's pretty remarkable, really. But you're right. The Cardinals are a very, very interesting team, because just when you're ready to kind of throw some dirt on them, they're like, no, 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 not so fast. And they get up and start thrashing around and knocking off good teams. But then when you think, okay, hey, they really got a chance of this, then, you know, they stop scoring runs, the bullpen gets blown up, they're, you know, all of a sudden they're 4.5, 5 games out, and then you're like, okay, let's get the shovels out, time to throw some more dirt on them. They keep us guessing. They keep our expectations fluctuating. You know, our expectations are just all over the place all the time. And I think it's a lot of fun. Can I just throw something in real quick to kind of cap off? Basically, something you said. I was looking at this earlier in preparation of coming on. So the Cardinals, you know, including today, this season, teams that would be in the postseason if the postseason had started today, the Cardinals are 9-7-2 in series against those teams this year. 9-7-2. Now, if you're going to do it a different way, in series played against teams that have the highest probability of making the playoffs, eventually, the Cardinals are 10-5-2 in series against the teams with the highest playoff probability. I mean, That's pretty amazing stuff, man. Yeah. I mean, I know there's a lot of parity, but that's pretty amazing stuff. But again, to your point, the Cardinals have also given away some series that they shouldn't have. You know, losing to Miami twice, losing to Cincinnati once, losing to the Royals, losing to the Angels. You know, they had a chance to bag some relatively easy series wins and couldn't finish the deal. But there was that one series out in San Diego where they won the first two. And then they had to settle for a split, stuff like that.
Let me add on to your stat there, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Because they've been terrible against the Brewers. I believe they've played three series against the Brewers. So what, they would be 9-4-2 on your first number and 10-4-3, whatever it was. I mean, if you remove the three series losses because of the Brewers, or maybe they split that first one because it turned into a two-game series and then they played it later. But you get the point that I'm taking. If you remove the Brewers series, that number becomes that much more impressive.
Yeah, and I would throw the Diamondbacks in there. The Cardinals have basically gotten pounded by two teams this year.
Yeah.
You know, they're a combined 4-13 against the Brewers and Diamondbacks. So if you look at their record, which is 61-60, let me do the math here real quick. That would be 57, and that would be 13, which would be 47. Okay, I know you can't do this, so it's a cop out. But other than the Brewers and the Diamondbacks, the Cardinals are 57-47. It's just a reflection about how well they've done against every other good team, relatively speaking, compared to the Diamondbacks and Brewers.
Can I get you fired up, Bernie?
Yeah, man.
Okay. We just got this message that came in. Tom sends in a message on the stream, says, "Guess DeWitt and Bloom don't care about what us fans care or want. We've been telling them we want Baez, but now they say not this year, sorry, but buy tickets to see a horrific product."
Well, I don't know what to say because I don't want to get in trouble with their bosses. So by telling Tom to go do something. But this team could win 20 in a row. And there would be people sending you text messages, like taking shots and telling the DeWitts to sell or whatever. I actually feel really sorry for them. I do. They can't enjoy anything. They're incapable of it.
Yeah.
And by the way, who said that Baez isn't coming up?
Yeah, he says that Derek Gould is reporting that. I just looked at a Derek Gould tweet. It says Joshua Baez on the horizon, but not immediate at the 45-day mark.
Yeah.
So that's not saying that Baez isn't kidding.
No.
Let me translate.
Tom's got some he got some reading comprehension skills,
that
I
seems
see.
To be, they are not going to call Baez up at the moment he is able to secure his rookie eligibility for next year by the date. But we're going to see Baez this year. I would be shocked if we don't.
No, they will, and I put a thing on X today about how he had cut down his strikeout rate, his chase rate. He'd made a lot of improvement in a lot of areas, which is they challenged him to do. I still wish he would have a better contact rate against strikes, but he has made major progress. And they're going to reward that progress because they said, listen, this is what we want you to do. And they told him. And they knew he would work on it, and he's worked on it. And what he's done is it's about a month worth of baseball. What he's done is he sacrificed just a little power to make sure he draws more walks and make sure that he's not chasing pitches and not swinging for the fences every single pitch, where he's had much better pitch recognition and much better plate discipline. And I'm sorry to people like that fine gentleman. I mean, do you think it's worth, in other words, I'm telling you, over the last month, he has made major strides in areas where he really needed to. So for people like that gentleman and others, so, given his career and what he could do early, but also what we've seen happen to prospects in St. Louis, isn't that extra month, isn't that extra 6 weeks to get him more prepared to the big leagues? Isn't that worth it? Are you just totally cuckoo?
No, it is. And I think the bigger thing here, Bernie, it's a good reminder to people because I get into this too. We see guys who are putting up big numbers at AAA and we go gaga over them. And then they get here and sometimes they're ready and sometimes they're not. We went gaga over getting Jimmy Crooks here. And I still would like to see Crooks get more time than he's getting, but sure. The numbers have been underwhelming. Some of us went gaga for Brian Torres. Some of it, there's a million guys who Luis Gastelum, we thought he was going to be the next coming of Dennis Eckersley, and he gets here and he's going to be a really good pitcher in the big leagues.
I think he is too, yeah.
But he's not there right now. It's going to take a little bit of a process. So, and then these guys don't perform, and these same people are looking for the next shiny toy at AAA. Major League Baseball is hard, Bernie. It's really hard.
It is. Well, I'm gonna be a jerk, and I'm gonna bring this back up. I can't tell you how many times in my various media efforts I put out the word based on research and some stuff I didn't like to see at all, even though I like Jimmy Crooks. I kept telling people. When everyone was banging the drum and everyone was going absolutely bananas to get him up, everybody, I was saying, it's not a good idea, man. There's a lot of holes in his swing. Give him some time to kind of smooth things out. He's not ready. Oh, shut up, Bernie. Shut up. Quit being so negative. Shut up. So I was told to pipe down and go sit down. Okay. How's that working out? How's it working out?
It's been tough. And he has moments. I like Jimmy Crooks. I don't want to make this a Jimmy Crooks bashing session. I just want to, and people did the same thing with Nolan Gorman years ago. And now those same people never want to see Nolan Gorman play in the big leagues.
Yeah. How's that working out? Yeah. Don't listen to me though. I don't know anything.
Okay.
So I want to see Joshua Baez come up here with his best chance right away for success. I don't know why anyone who is an actual real Cardinals fan would want something else other than what I just said, for him to have his best shot at early success in his career.
Yeah, because I would love to get in the DeLorean and play out Jordan Walker's career where he's given time to marinate at AAA. There would still be some stuff that they would have had to fix with him. I'm not saying that who he is right now is who he would have been 1 year later if they wouldn't have called him up, or 3 months later if they would have given him some time at AAA. And plus, Cardinals player development then was not what they are now in terms of helping guys. So I'm not saying it's a magic potion to make guys better, but we did see when you rush somebody up like a Jordan Walker, sometimes that can put you back a significant amount of time.
No doubt about it. And like you said, it happens everywhere. It's not just the Cardinals. It happens everywhere. And I think Chaim Bloom is a guy who is more prudent. And one of the things I really respect about him is he's not going to respond or pay attention. He's not arrogant. He's just very focused. He's not going to respond or pay attention to people, media, fans, both, who are impatient and want something to happen right now and do this now. We want him now. You know, he tunes all that out because he wants to do what's best for the player. And there are times that we all disagree with Chaim Bloom. I think we all disagree with him on Matthew Liberatore. I'm not saying I agree with everything he does, but the one thing I like about him, and he is very, very disciplined. He knows what his plan is. He knows with that great staff he has down working in the minors, which is light years ahead of what they had before. He also, he monitors these guys with like with such advanced knowledge of the stuff that's important and literally, you know, day by day trend lines and everything else. He's not going to bring somebody up unless he's confident that he can have instant success. And I think Jimmy Crooks, and again, I like him and I think he'll hit, but he's a bit of a cautionary tale. They weren't wrong to bring him up because they did wait. They waited a long time after, you know, there were a few of us saying, no, not so fast, not so fast. They did wait, but it's just kind of tough for Jimmy Crooks. The way they use him, I think, is a little tough too. And he can't really hit left-handers, and that was going to be the case whenever he got to the majors. So they're trying to thread the needle with him, and it sort of goes back into the big problem they have with too many catchers right now.
What I really wanted to get into with you, and it took me this long to get here, I look at the stat sheet for the Cardinals, and I see Kyle Leahy, 23 starts, 3.38 ERA. Michael McGreevy, 23 starts, 3.64 ERA. Andre Pallante, 23 starts, 3.46 ERA. Three dudes, Bernie, who have not missed a start this year, had nothing guaranteed at the beginning of the year, especially when it comes to Leahy and Pallante, and three guys who are putting up fantastic numbers. So much credit all over the place. The Cardinals pitching coaches deserve credit. These players deserve credit. Player development deserves credit. But this is remarkable. I don't think I would have believed somebody if they would have told me in the middle of August those three guys had all not missed a start and they all had ERAs at 3.6 or below.
You set me up on something. I put this up on X a couple of hours ago. I think it's about dang time that people start paying attention to how good the Cardinals starting pitching is. I am at a loss to explain why people are so oblivious. Not everyone, but too many people. I get stuff in my inbox about, their starting pitching is so mediocre. Boy, this and that. Can I just throw a couple things at you?
Let's go.
Since July, by the way, these are all facts, okay? I live in the world where facts matter, okay? Thanks. Just wanted to clarify. Since the start of June, right? Since the start of June, no, I take that back. I'm sorry, I'm messing up my own note, and I apologize. Since the start of July, the Cardinals, after today's start, going into today's start, but it still holds true. Since the start of July, the St. Louis Cardinals have the best starting pitching ERA in the majors, and their fielding independent ERA is also number one. If you go back, I'm saying, okay, because I don't want to cherry pick. Let's look at the whole season, 121 games. Cardinals came into today 10th overall and 4th in the National League in starting pitching ERA. That's the whole season. And that got even better today. They were also 10th overall and 4th in the National League this season, starting pitching and fielding independent ERA. They were 9th overall and tied for 3rd in the National League in quality starts. And they're doing all of this with a major liability in the rotation. And yet I get mail. I get people hollering at me on X or whatever. They need to fire Dusty Blake.
Yeah.
What? What are you this is amazing what this rotation is doing, given how limited we thought this rotation was. It's amazing what they've done. And again, that's a fact. I'm not just like throwing stuff up against the wall. These are facts that I'm putting out there on the table, right? Yeah. Oh, and one more thing. Not one starting pitcher has spent a day on the IL. This season. Mm-hmm. You got starting pitchers across Major League Baseball blowing up every day. The IL is like the most populated list in American sports with starting pitchers and relievers. The Cardinals have lost no one from the rotation to injury. Not one day. Hunter Dobbins had an injury. He was on the IL, but it was because it was a knee injury that he suffered in Boston and he was rehabbing it as a Cardinal. But yet, fire Dusty Blake.
We're 100% like-minded on this one, Bernie. I have to laugh at myself a little bit because in the off season, I think when I was doing some of the countdown shows with Mike Claiborne, one of my lines that I said a bunch because I talked about last year, the Cardinals never having a starting pitcher go on the injured list last year. I said it a bunch of times. I said, we'll probably never go through another season in our lifetime where we see a starting rotation for the Cardinals not have a single pitcher go on the IL. Now, look, there's still plenty of time left for something to happen this season. But that seemed so incredibly fluky because that's not supposed to happen. And now basically the same thing is happening again this year.
Absolutely. And listen, I was also having some fun with this. If you asked 100 people who are Cardinals fans or any fans really, like, okay, who's got a better starting pitching ERA? Would it be the team with Pallante, Libitor, McGreevy, Leahy, and Hunter Dobbins? Who am I missing? Did I leave one of our guys out?
McGreevy, Pallante, Dobbins, Leahy, Libitor.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Who's got the better starting pitching ERA? That team or the team that has a rotation of Christopher Sanchez, Zach Wheeler, Jesus Luzardo, Aaron Nola, and a top pitching prospect, Andrew Painter. Which team's got the best starting pitching ERA?
It should be not the Cardinals.
99 of 100 would say Philadelphia, right?
Yeah.
The answer is the Cardinals have a better starting pitching ERA right now than the Philadelphia Phillies. The Cardinals have a better starting pitching ERA than a team that up until the deadline had a rotation that included Kevin Gausman, Dylan Cease, Trey Savage, Max Scherzer, Shane Bieber. They have a better starting pitching ERA than the team that has in its rotation Mackenzie Gore, Nathan Eovaldi, Jacob deGrom, and two young, highly regarded prospects, Kumar Rocker and Jack Leiter. Cardinals have a better starting pitching ERA than a team that has in its rotation Paul Skenes, Jared Jones, Bubba Chandler, Braxton Ashcraft, and Mitch Keller. The Cardinals have a better starting pitcher ERA than a team that has in its rotation Hunter Green, Andrew Abbott, Chase Burns, Nick Lodolo, Brady Singer, and Rhett Lauder. I could go on and on and on.
Yep.
I mean, it is remarkable what they have been able to do with the talent they have to mold this rotation. They're outperforming all these rotations that have these big name pitchers.
It's remarkable. It's a lot of credit is deserved. And the other thing, Bernie, and this has been a narrative all year long, but I get lulled into it anytime we think, okay, this is it. This is the moment where it starts to fall off. This is the moment they sell at the deadline and they're in the middle of a road trip through Toronto and New York, which is tough. What they answer the bell. You had a really tough loss in that first game against the Phillies. What do? They answer with wins against two of the better pitchers in the National League. Their ability to bounce back from adversity, I don't know if I've seen it before from a baseball team.
It's really something. You know, I wanted to double check this. Okay, and this happened since the trade deadline. Okay, where there may have been that may have been, you know, they trade Newt Barr, very popular player. They trade Dustin May, very important and popular player. Romero's inactive, but still they love him. And now when he returns, he won't be pitching for them. That could have been something that deflated the team, right? I don't know that I would have blamed them, right? Well, since that happened, for the first time all season, the Cardinals have won three consecutive series. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. The Cardinals, before the trade deadline, Matt, they had six different times where they could have won a third consecutive series, and all six times they lost that series that would have given them three in a row.
Yeah.
0-6 when they had a chance to win three in a row. The first time that they win three in a row is after a lot of people out there were saying, well, I know they got to do this, but it's going to just break this team's heart. I mean, it's just not, it's just going to just tear their heart out to trade these guys away. Well, I don't think that happened.
It didn't. And the vibes are, I'm in that clubhouse every day when the team's at home. Vibes are good. I can tell you, vibes are really good. And it's a confident group that feels good about where they're going. And I think, Bernie, I got to get you out of here. So just real quick.
All right.
I think that the message that they have been given from leadership has been so clear that that's part of the reason why the morale doesn't drop. Nothing has happened to them that's unexpected.
No, they're so well prepared for every contingency, you know? Ali Marmol keeps nothing in the dark. He talks to them candidly about everything. They're very upfront. They like no one has misled them. No one has lied to them. I mean, they knew of all the variables going into the trade deadline. They knew that X, Y, Z, you know, could happen or more could happen. But they dealt with it. And they come out of the trade deadline. It's almost like it took the pressure off their back, where they could just relax because they're like, hey, man, we're all Cardinals to the end of the year. Let's go. Let's win some games. Let's get this thing going again. Got a lot of admiration for the team, even though we have people talking about how they're a horrific product or whatever. Okay.
Bernie, just a few minutes left here in hour number one of the program. Hour number two, it is largely going to be a conversation I had earlier today. Got the chance to sit down and talk with Anouk Kurunturante. He is the president of business operations for the Cardinals, kind of a state of the Cardinals from a business side of things conversation. That's going to be coming up here in the 7 o'clock hour. And certainly hope that you'll stick around for that. Just to get an idea of what's going on and what they're focusing on. And it was a good jumping off point again, was the decision to make the navy blue caps the primary road cap with the road grace. He told us, and he'll say this in the interview, but I'll let you know, because we can't get 80% of anybody agreeing on anything. Of the people who turned in the survey, about 80% said they wanted the navy blue caps. I was surprised by that number. I like the navy blue caps. I'm not passionate about it by any stretch of the mind. It's not something I care about that much, but a large portion of the Cardinal fan base, and very, very, very obviously a portion of the fan base that was wanting it to get done, they got the message that they needed to get in on that survey. So that's going to be coming up. Matt, are we done in 10 seconds or are we done in a minute 10? You told me. Okay, we got a minute 10 left. Sometimes my memory isn't good. We have to hit our top of the hour news. Matthew Rocchio does his job. He tells me what time we need to be out. Do I write it down? No. I say to myself, Matt, not Matthew Rocchio, me, Matt, you can remember it. You know what time it's going to be. And then I'm looking at the clock and I'm going, wait a minute. Is it now or is it a minute from now? Because I can't remember. I've had a long day. Okay. So there you go. And that's live radio at its best for sure. But yeah, navy blue caps. That's where it is going to be here moving forward for the Cardinals on the road. So a solid percentage of the fan base, very happy with that decision. Jeremy sends in a message on the stream, says it just matches the road uniforms. I'm not disagreeing, just not something I'm passionate about, but I understand the passion behind it. Again, 80% of the fans who submitted that survey said they want navy blue road caps. Well, there you go. You get it. It is now time for me to go ahead and take that break. We'll talk to you after the 7 o'clock news here on KMOX. Love talking to you.